The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Our main movie to discuss with Deirdre Malumby of Entertainment.ie and Roe McDermott from Hot Press is Dumbo, directed by Tim Burton, starring Colin Farrell, Danny DeVito, Eva Green, Michael Keaton and an elephant. A live-action remake. Is it any good, Deirdre?
It's grand. I mean, look.
That's damning. It's grand.
But isn't that the response to every live-action remake we've seen in the past while? Like Cinderella and Beauty and the Beast. I mean, they're trying to revive these classical cartoons and I don't... Like, I think trying to make them better is an incredibly difficult task.
I completely agree with you. And I mean, it was probably a mistake, to be honest. But to prepare for watching the movie, I actually watched the original during the week before I went to see it. And I mean, the original, it was just so innovative in terms of animation. It had all of those great musical numbers, like When I See an Elephant Fly. And this film gets rid of all of the musical numbers. It gets rid of a bunch of like the original animal characters that, you know, made the original one so charming. And instead, it's the humans who come in and save the day and encourage Dumbo to fly and all that. The only song that they keep in this is Baby Mine, and it's nice, but then they have like an Arcade Fire cover of it in the credits for some reason. But I suppose part of the appeal of this and part of what it was being sold off the back of was the fact that it was directed by Tim Burton. It's, you know, Michael Keaton and Danny DeVito, who he would have directed, you know, in Batman Returns years ago. So it was kind of a big reunion. Eva Green is in it as well, who Tim Burton would have worked with in Miss Peregrine's Home a few years ago. But all of them just, again, they're just grand. And Colin Farrell is great. He plays the lead character in this. I think that it's one of Michael Keaton's weakest villainous characters, if I'm honest. Danny DeVito is grand. Eva Green is totally used. The film is just that bit too long. I went to a screening that was filled with kids and they were running up and down the screen in like the last half hour.
Not a good sign. That's if their concentration was gone.
No. This is happening a lot with the live action remakes though. They'll take a 90 minute cartoon and they'll turn it into a 2 hour live action film. And like you said, when you don't have the songs, and I thought like putting songs into remakes is always like a tricky business, because The Jungle Book, I know some people appreciated that some of the songs were back in the live action remake. I just found it's so cringy and awkward.
So have there been any good live action remakes that you can think of? How many live action remakes have we had now at this stage?
We've had a good... I'm excited for The Lion King. I do have very high hopes for The Lion King, because which is coming out this summer, because the animation and the technology they are using looks incredible. And I think the voice cast that they've assembled is top notch. Like, it's the most excited I've been for a live action remake. So I'm pinning all my hopes on that. But I think Disney is...
Which one is that?
That's The Lion King that's coming out this year. So I'm excited for that. But so far, the Disney ones in particular, like, they have been just, they've been serviceable.
Yeah, and I've seen the trailer for Aladdin, which is also due out this year, and that just looks very mediocre. But it's
and
amazing.
That's a Guy Ritchie.
That's
adaptation.
A Guy Ritchie. Yeah, it's a very strange one. And actually, they've recently pushed up Maleficent 2. So Maleficent would have been out a few years ago, and that was a live action remake of Sleeping Beauty, except it was told from the antagonist's perspective. And that was so successful that they did a sequel to it. So we're getting 4 Disney live action remakes altogether this year. They're just pushing them out like crazy.
Well, actually, looking at the other ones here in this, we've Mulan.
Oh yeah, that's coming up. I mean, Mulan, I actually really, really like that cartoon. But I think they're going to have to be really careful, because there was some controversy around the casting saying that they didn't have enough Asian characters, which in Mulan is absolutely ridiculous, obviously.
Cruella, which is a live action prequel to 101 Dalmatians.
Now, what's weird about this one is that it was announced years ago, but we haven't heard anything about it in a long time. Emma Stone is signed up to play Cruella de Vil, so that might be kind of interesting. And, you know, what's funny is people forget that actually the very first live action remake of a film was 101 Dalmatians back in the 90s with Cruella de Vil. So it was actually that film that started
that was Glenn
it all.
Close, was
Glenn Close.
Glenn
Close, yeah. As opposed to...
who, in fairness, brought the part to life, didn't she?
Oh, she was great. Good. She was very good fun. The film itself was, yeah, again, slightly mediocre. But it was such a novelty back then to see a live action version of a film that I think we all just bought into it.
Lady and the Tramp has been done as well.
This is a weird one. So it stars Tessa Thompson and Justin Theroux. This is actually going to the streaming service Disney Plus, which is supposed to be launching in America later this year. And I think they're going to be pushing quite a few of these live action remakes to their streaming service.
So they won't actually ever surface in the big screen.
Exactly. So they'll kind of be... Remember how they used to do a lot of like straight to video sequels, like with Lady and the Tramp 2 and Peter Pan 2 and stuff
like
that?
Three Little Mermaid films where they just swapped. They just kept swapping who was a mermaid. And who was a human.
Yeah, but I suppose the whole idea of Disney Plus is that it's going to be, you know, these movies will be exclusively available on that surface, on that service rather. So there'll be a bit of competition there for
And
Netflix.
It's going to be a Little Mermaid movie.
Yes,
live action.
Well, these are first
Lin-Manuel Miranda from Hamilton is writing tracks for it, apparently.
I'm excited about that. So Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote Hamilton, of course, but he also did the songs for Moana. He was recently in Mary Poppins. I think he was deeply underused in Mary Poppins and didn't have like his musical ability or he didn't have his charm on display. But I think he could do something really interesting. There have also been a lot of interesting discussions around the casting of Ursula and possibly bringing in some drag queens and some plus size people, which I think is very necessary because often the villains get like a sexy remake. But Ursula was just such an icon of being like a fat woman. She was like coded as being a person of color. She's like a queer icon. So I'm excited to see that.
Pinocchio, apparently, as well, is going to be a live action remake.
Yeah, originally, actually, the Skyfall, the director of Skyfall, rather, Sam Mendes, was attached to direct this. He's no longer doing it, but Paddington director Paul King will be helming it instead. So that might be nice. I mean, Paddington and Paddington 2 are two of the most charming, you know, CGI / live action family movies that have been produced in recent years.
And so. Hunchback of Notre Dame has been done as live action, so to speak, hasn't it?
Okay. I'm in, yes, of course, the original, but I'm very interested to see this because the Disney version, Hunchback of Notre Dame, was one of the darkest Disney movies.
Quite
if you look back, there's a lot of like Catholic guilt stuff, there's a lot of like sexual shaming stuff, there's stuff about racism and xenophobia, and obviously like body shaming. So I don't like that's going to be, we're going to have a lot of PC gone mad conversations when that comes out and the think pieces roll in. So I'm all for it.
Okay, let's talk about an Irish documentary which is going on. Release, and this is directed by Frank Scholdice, who has been an exceptionally good journalist here in Ireland for the last 30 years or so, first in the print media and then in RT afterwards as well, particularly with the likes of Primetime Investigates. He has made a documentary called The Man Who Wanted to Fly. What's this about?
I think it's no surprise at all that this comes from a journalist because it is such a beautiful little human interest story. So this is about Bobby Coote, who lives in Cavan, and he's in his 80s, and for 50 years or more he's been dreaming of flying. And it's about him and his dream of renovating an airplane and taking it to the sky, but it's also about his brother Ernie, who is slightly more cynical. He kind of thinks his brother is a little bit, you know, like head in the clouds, doesn't think this is realistic. It's about their relationship, but it's also about a lot more. It's about loneliness for a huge degree of the film. It's about being older and single and an old bachelor in rural Ireland and being on your own, but also finding community and finding people who support the wildest of dreams.
Let's hear a clip from the trailer.
The Coote family is here for about 150 years. Now it's just myself and my brother Bobby. He's a genius. He's head of brains, but he this daft notion about flying.
I had dreams about flying, that I flew a plane. But when it was coming into land, I woke up. That's the truth.
Well, you see, the dream doesn't match his age.
Okay, Deirdre, what do you make of this?
I thought it was really, really sweet. I mean, there's something just so pure and beautiful in that dream of like an old man who wants to fly. I think that that's so, so sweet. I thought that as well as that, the relationship between the two brothers was really what sold it to me because Ernie and Bobby have got such like distinct personalities, even though they're both very charming. And you do see them kind of conflicting with one another. And there's kind of this sense of awkwardness between them or something, which I found like quite relatable because I feel like I've seen it in like relatives and in like, you know, it seems to be a particularly Irish thing. There's a distance there, you know, for example, like Bobby doesn't even come over to Ernie's for dinner and stuff like that. But the ending is just so uplifting, literally and figuratively. And it just leaves you with a big beam on your face. So if you're
Excellent.
Looking for just a feel good movie, it's ideal.
Hey, a couple of people have been in touch today. The reason Arcade Fire do the cover of the Dumbo song is because the front man of Arcade Fire, whose name escapes me, his grandfather was responsible for the original Dumbo soundtrack and that song in particular, apparently.
Oh, wow. I had no idea about that, but that's really sweet.
A beautiful story. Might not make the song feel any less incongruous in the film, though.
Okay, and quite a few people getting in touch. One say they're not cartoons, they're animations, says another one. And can we call The Lion King a live-action remake? Still just CGI as opposed to highly skilled lion actors.
This is a debate that's been raging, though, and the director has been saying it's live-action because he wants the actors to take the credit for doing some method acting. We'll see.
Thank you very much, Roe McDermott from Hot Press and Deirdre Malumbi from entertainment.ie.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.